must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me.
Let's sing about it now, church.
God will make this trial a blessing. Though it sends me to my knees,
for my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these tests we must face. 'Cause it is here that God will mold you and make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the love He has. Sends me to my knees,
though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Standing on the mountain,
hallelujah.
Looking back, I can see when I was in my lowest valley,
yes, Lord.
His strong hand was leading
Thank
me.
You, Lord.
Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory.
Yes, it is.
God has made my trial a blessing. Oh, the love He has for me.
Though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. I'm not gonna talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world
they're gonna see. Oh, bless the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church this morning? We had a time here last night, didn't we? Did you enjoy our brother Belton from South Carolina? Bless their hearts. They drove all the way back home last night, but they let us know they was here, didn't they? Amen. We certainly appreciate them. And today's another service. We need him again today, don't we? How many come with expectation this morning? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Harry, sing that chorus for us one more time while they've got you.
God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. My tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk to me. God will make this trial a blessing.
Yes, He will.
discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise this morning, if you will. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Robert's here with us again this morning from New York. I think he's going to be heading to Georgia this afternoon, or maybe South Carolina, to Brother Luke Gibson's to minister. So pray that they'll just have a glorious time down there. Sister Joy Keith sends this in to please pray for Gabriel Keith, who has an intestinal virus, and for Brother Kevin Keith, who is experiencing heart problems. Thank you very much. I understand Brother Kevin just really going through a time with his heart right now, so we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just, he and the Gabriel both, that the Lord would just touch him. Brother Fred Green sends in for Reverend Paul Green in Kansas, and for a 14-year-old girl named Maddie. Let's remember those needs today as we pray. Sister Joy sends us in to please remember Buzz in prayer this morning. Very congested and dizzy today, so let's pray that the Lord would meet that need as we pray. Sister Lisa Cutts, not able to be in the service today, very sick, so we want to pray for her that the Lord would just touch her today. We want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is sick with a sore throat and a very bad earache, so let's pray for her today. Brother Jerry Glenn says to please pray for my wife, Deanna. She is at home sick, needs a touch from the Lord. Let's pray for that need. And then here's another prayer request for Brother Kevin Keith due to his heart rate running very, very low. So let's pray for that need today. We want to pray for Brother Jerry Phillips, has a real bad cough, unable to be in the service today. Well, that's just going through about everybody, I believe, the coughing. And my wife is at home sick this morning, if you would remember her in prayer. Brother Junior Davis sends this in. I go tomorrow for my PET scan. Please pray with me that the scan will be completely clear. I know I am healed. I just need for my body to catch up with my confession. You don't know how much your prayers and concern mean to me. Thank you so much. So we're just going to commit that need unto the Lord. That's the best place to put it, in the hands of the Lord. Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. We know we're serving a God that can answer prayer, don't we? Do you love the Lord with all your heart this morning? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Isn't it good to be a believer? Praise the Lord. Let's stand, if you will. Brother Robert, if you'd come, take us to the Lord again in prayer. Let's invite His presence into this service today. We just commit these things unto the Lord. Bless our brother. Give him a nice hand as he comes this morning. Brother Robert, God bless you. Love you,
brother. Good morning. God bless you all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I think the devil got skinned last night. Yeah. Didn't you see him leave church? I just saw the tail. That's all what I saw. I tell you, you all made some noise yesterday after the preaching service. I think that guy must have gotten scared. Amen. I just want to say something before we go into prayer. I'm going to be leaving immediately, as soon as Brother Donnie probably finishes, so I could get there on time for the service tonight. Just pray for me. I won't be able to greet you, so don't quit church. It's not because I had anything against you. It's just I have to leave quickly to minister. It's an honor to be here. One little thing I want to say to you. Remember, unity is power. The bride of Christ, respect each other, love each other, pray for each other, respect your pastor. Remember what Brother Brandon said. A minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the angel of the Lord to that church. And anything you say is blasphemy against that word that's being preached. So I wonder, all these ministers that I have talked to these days and don't understand this and got angry about it, they got angry with God. They ain't got angry with Brother Donnie. They ain't got angry with me and no other minister in this message. Remember, you have to be careful of what you say is not of God. I want to be careful. If I don't understand something, I'd rather believe it, said Brother Branham. Believe it leave it alone because you don't know. You don't understand everything. I've been preaching this message 26 years. Do I understand everything? No. There's things in Daniel 70 weeks I don't even understand. But I believe it. He told me to believe it. At the proper time, God will reveal it to me. So, God bless you. Love you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for this request. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to come to the house of the Lord. I'm so grateful, Father, that you're so mindful of us, Lord. Seeing, Father, the day that we are living in, how just by preaching the word of God, we could go into a little squeeze. And, Father, we see the nation. We saw it yesterday and in the news how Obama is threatening Russia and the United States want to go into war. But, Father, this morning, and as I was thinking and talking to Brother Harry this morning, Lord, I say, I'm so nervous and so worried about our families and those folks that are not ready. Oh, Father, help us, Lord God, to be ready on time. God, may your word captivate our mind, God. Oh, God, and not the world and what's around us, Lord. Just help us today, Father God. And God, this request and prayer and sickness on your people and many needs that your people have, Father, I lay my hands on this request, Father, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, that you may heal, that you may touch every person, Father, that's feeble, Father, and all the requests that have been put here on this pulpit, Father, and those that raise their hands, God, may your mighty hand, Father, may be upon them, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, God. Amen, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming today, we pray that the Lord will just let this service be a great blessing to them. Let's sing that song, Brother Harry. Let's do that song this morning. We're rising up, aren't we? We got 14 rising up, rest of you sinking. How many of you rising up this morning? Give Jesus another hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Amen. I want you to sing with all your heart. We're fixing to create an atmosphere here in the next few minutes. I want it to be pleasing to the Lord. Do you? Do you?
Amen.
Do you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it.
As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold, they turned that old world upside down. Done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out. In a jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. Well, if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you.
Oh, praise the Lord, church!
In his last days, he'll pour of his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew. If you think they're all long gone and all the miracles are done, I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days he'll pour.
Hallelujah.
In this last days he'll pour.
Yes, he will.
Of his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew.
Oh, yes, he will. Cause we're rising up.
Rising up.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
Oh, we're a New Testament church. Rising up.
She's rising up. Restored by Malachi 4 church.
Yes, Lord.
And she's rising
up. We're rising
up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother Bobby Hayton, come if you would at this time. Give us a song today. Enjoy our singers. Give them a nice hand.
How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's a thing to count today. Is it black by sin? Have you peace with Him? Could you ask Christ in Tuesday? People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he can see inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's a thing to count today. Jesus really sight. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today.
The Lord. Thank you, Brother Bobby. Brother Fred, you ready to sing this morning? And Brother Joel, I want you to get ready to sing farther along before Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word this morning. So we'll have you do that. Is that all right? Coming up here and get ready. Praise the Lord. Brother Fred, God bless you as you sing this morning.
Oh, how well I remember in the old-fashioned days, when some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned ways. In the old-fashioned meetings, as they tarried there, in the old-fashioned manner how God answered their prayers. Oh, there was singing, such singing of those old-fashioned airs. There was power, such power, in those old-fashioned prayers. An old-fashioned conviction made the sinner pray. And the Lord heard and saved him in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place, where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. There was singing, such singing of those old-fashioned airs. Power, such power in those old-fashioned prayers. An old-fashioned conviction made the sinner pray, and the Lord heard and saved him in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place, where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. Oh, they say it's far better. Things have changed, don't you know? And the people in general seem to think it is so. And they call me old-fashioned when I dare to say that I like it a whole lot better in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place, where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. If the Lord never changes, as these fashions of men, if He's always the same, why, God must be old-fashioned then. As an old-fashioned sinner, I got saved through old-time grace. Oh, I'm sure He's gonna take me to an old-fashioned place. 'Cause an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place, where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. Oh, the Lord sent William Branham in this 20th century day, and this message was revealed to us in the old-fashioned way. Oh, he lived the life before us and showed us the way that will lead us straight to Jesus in the glory someday. Sing it with me. Old fashioned me.
God is good all the time, every day. I want to say this. I hope I don't get in trouble. But I better not. Lord have mercy. I'll wait. I'll say it later. Praise God. I want you all to know that I love each and every one of you very much. And you all have been more to me than, quite frankly, some of my own blood family. And a brother came up to me last night, and he was saying something to, you know, that and I won't call his name, but he was telling me that, you know, when he looked at me, he didn't see black and all that. And I told him, wait, you ain't taking that away from me. So when you see Brother Joel, yes, you do see black. That's how I'm going to be. And I've been here before all the controversy came up. I don't know what the media was talking about, because I've been here. I intend to stay here until the Lord says otherwise. But I'm simply looking for perfection, because it's going to take a perfect God. I believe the prophet said it this way. It's going to take a perfect God with a perfect heart, keeping a perfect promise by a perfect word. And I believe he's looking out over the field. They're ripe to harvest now. And he's perusing the field in perfection. He's getting ready to pluck that fruit, church. And when he does, we're all going. And it's going to be perfect faith. Forget about the sickness and all that we're going through now. All the trouble. We have to have faith to get out of here. Is that right? Forget about what somebody said and what somebody's done. Get that faith to get a rapture. That's the thought we must have. Amen. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful to death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing when I sweep through those beautiful gates. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine.
said it'll all by and by. Now when I see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from my great home in the sky, then I shall meet him in that bright mansion. And hear him say, oh my, you made it, son. Father, no, we'll know all about it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember from Brother Harold Brown out in Missouri, first heard Brother Joel sing that song, and we were sitting back in the office here, and he told me, he said, I never did like that song until tonight. He said it was always so sad and just so drug out. And he said, I like that song. It's amazing how you can change the tempo of it a little bit, put a little life in it and make it different. Amen. Are you happy to be in church today? Appreciate the Lord giving us the opportunity to be able to assemble ourselves together. I'm still rejoicing over the service last night. So appreciate our brothers and sisters for driving up to be with us yesterday from Columbia and driving back home and have service today. We certainly appreciate that with all of our hearts. So appreciate Brother Robert coming down to be with us from New York. And amen. He's just like one of us. See, we love him, don't we? Appreciate him so much. He brought me a little bit of baked goods from up that way. For those of you that know about Carlo's Bakery, it's a famous bakery. And it just so happens Brother Robert's daughter works there. So I got my own personal delivery from New York. Amen. Wow. What value can we put on friends? You know, friends are wonderful in good times, but they're like gold in bad. Let's turn today, if you would, to the book of Jude. We'd like to begin reading verse 3, just one chapter in Jude. Begin reading verse 3 through verse 6. I want to speak to you today on signs of apostasy. Signs of apostasy. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Just 30 years now after a great event has happened, and already they need to be reminded. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now this tells us what category that apostasy will come into. It's people that have been saved, as we would call it, people that have known the truth, and then they will turn from that truth. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Now listen where they are. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, by choice, of course, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered today before the Lord? Just raise your hand to Him. Lord Jesus, as we approach You today, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're so grateful once again that we have the opportunity to meet together here in this house with Your children. But we're certainly much more grateful that we can meet here with You. And we believe You are here, for You said You would be. Lord, we ask for Your help today and Your guidance. Dear God, we realize that there's so many things that are going on in the world around us. Lord, we hear of the trouble that's in the Ukraine and what Russia's doing. Father, we pray for our president. Lord, the leaders of our nation, Lord, are saying things back and forth. And Lord, we know they don't know what we know, but we know Russia will get us one day. And we can see that contention still lays there between the two nations and under the surface. So we pray for our president that You would help him, Lord. We pray, dear God, for our leaders that they would be able to do the right thing. Lord, it's inevitable. We know eventually they will bomb this nation. But Lord, we know they can't do it while Your bride's here. So we pray that You would help us, Father. We know there cannot be lasting peace, but may there be peace long enough to where we can reach the last ones who's predestinated to life. Speak to us today, Heavenly Father, from Your great word, and we'll give You thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Love you so much today. Let's read again, if you would, in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. As I mentioned to you a week or so ago, as I've been looking at this and pondering, wondering, do those angels have any regrets? Do they wish they would have never made such a state? Only time will tell. But yet we know that for people who come to this same place, a person can absolutely cross a line in God to where that they have no remorse. We know that a person, they can come to that spot, as the young lady told Brother Branham, that she could see her mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and not feel sorry about it. I truly believe that we are dealing with people who have come to that kind of a spot. Now, if people were there, as he said over and over again, then there would be no desire in their heart to even seek for God. You know, they would hate Him. They would despise Him. But we are so thankful that God in His mercy is still reaching out to people and offering them help. But there will come a time when people, we know that it will not be collectively so much as a nation, but it will be individually, that people will come to that spot, truth, they will know it. They will be exposed to a certain element of truth. Some will be exposed to this much, some that much, some that much, some that much. And God is the only one justly that can look and judge every heart and know where every individual fits. But there will come a time when people will come to that spot and they will cross over that line never to find mercy again. I'm glad I don't know who they are. In verse 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now watch what Jude is doing, that he is running a parallel between the children of Israel who fell away from the promise of God. Then he runs a parallel of the cities of Sodom, the cities that were surrounding Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he runs a parallel and he brings it on down. Notice in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. So are there true telltale signs of true apostasy? There most certainly is. Now, if there are real signs of real believers, if there is something that is so evident in the life of real children of God that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a person has passed from death unto life. The Lord God has not given us a Christianity which is based upon total assumption, that we assume all of our lives that we are saved and we wait to the end of it to really find out whether we are or not. That's not kind of the salvation that I have.
I don't believe that's the kind the Bible produces. And the church said, I believe the blood of the Lord Jesus has produced such a genuine experience that we can know that we have passed from death unto life. That is not because we shout, because we jump, but because we love the brethren. And that's not just people that agree with you now, that's people that totally disagree with you. And if there is a way then that we can know we have passed from death unto life, then there will certainly be signs that will also be available by observation of the spiritual mind that will lead us to be able to know and identify certain moves of apostasy. And remember, apostates are not those who go out to try to necessarily win the lost. Apostates are not necessarily those who are trying to get people to eternal life, but they are those who are trying to pull away from a genuine move of God. That's what they promote. They don't have life. They do not have the new birth, so how can someone without a new birth need to lead another person to a new birth? There's no way. Now, notice this, then, one of the telltale signs for sure that Jude said is they likewise also, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh and they despise dominion. Now, the unbelieving Israelites, watch the parallel that he does, and he's tying this back to the fallen angels that fell from the presence of God. One thing that will always be a dead giveaway for those who are either in apostasy or leaning toward apostasy is that they will despise God-given dominion. They will despise those that God has set up, not only in heaven, but those that God has set up on the earth to be able to lead and guide his people. Now you notice, whether it's a big move or a little move, whether it's an international move or a global move or just a church move, you watch those moves and see how they will respect dominion, God-given dominion, and it will tell you whether or not that it has the roots of apostasy. Now, whether it's one man in a church or half a dozen in a church, or if it's a move that's coming against a real move of God, you watch their opinion toward God-called men, come on church, that he has placed in authority, and that will tell you a lot about the roots or the foundation of that particular move. Why? Because it originated in heaven. It was Satan who despised the dominion of God. Now, as I said, I've looked through the scripture, I've tried to search through the message. I've not been able to find for me a solid answer to what I could tell you today, actually what motivated Lucifer to do this. I have an opinion of it. But yet, I know that there was one position that was placed in the heavens that was reserved for one individual alone. We'll look at it a little bit in a few minutes. And I wonder myself, was it this that got Lucifer to be able to revile him in such a way that it would provoke him to jealousy, to despise dominion? Now, that within itself would not have been able to bring the onslaught that he did in heaven and also bring it down on the earth until he began to come and apostatize those angels which were created. Beings. Now listen to me. There are some of those which are what Josephus and Philo call rather the firstborn of God, the archangel. There are those angels which are of the eternal substance of God's being. And there are those which were created and they were given the choice on the ability to choose right and wrong what they wanted to do. Those which projected from God's own heart, what Paul calls them, the elect angels, are very similar. A reflection to the elect church whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who by no circumstance can ever have their names took off that book. Amen. But there are others which mirrored by the angels based upon choice in heaven, and they are found written in the Book of Life. Now they can choose whichever way they want to go. But yet these angels, now Satan could not create beings because he's not a creator. So he couldn't really do a great deal unless he had subjects and followers, because Satan is not omnipotent, he's not omnipresent, not omniscient, so he cannot be but at one place at one time. He can only aggravate one person at one time. He doesn't know all things. Amen. He lives in a body, so he cannot be everywhere at one time. So he needed subjects. He needed somebody in order to really establish his program. And there's only one source to go to: created angels. So he must inject in them an apostasy or put before them a lie by which they will be able to believe that lie and make a choice, and he will apostatize millions or tens of millions, how many ever it was, of angels from the presence of God. Now, because they are created and they are placed in this ability, then they can also be destroyed. Because they did not come from eternal essence of God's own nature. He made them different from the, I hope you're hearing me. He made them different from the elect angels, because had all of these angels been made eternal, they could have never been annihilated even though they fell. Listen, friends, Satan is a creature of time. I like to remind him of that, don't you? I like to remind him every now and then that when he is no more, I still will be. He may aggravate me. He may aggravate you. He may do all sorts of things in our life to try to make it difficult for us. But when there is no more devil, I'll still be in the eternal ages with the Almighty God. And so will you if you're born of the Spirit of God. Now notice, as Jude runs the parallel between the fallen angels which despise dominion, and then he runs the parallel over to the children of Israel, who despise dominion. Whose dominion was it they despised? They despised the dominion, first of all, of Yahweh. They despised his dominion, his government, by which he had chose to lead them out under a one-man leadership. God did not send 57 prophets. God did not send 75 prophets. He sent one prophet to lead them out. This is God's established government or dominion. Then he chose a priesthood. He chose Aaron. He chose Levites. He chose all of these rulers. This was the way God chose him. So Satan, what does he do? He brings the same despising idea right down among the move of God, and he goes to stirring up an apostasy to where they will despise the dominion of God's government, and that was a one-man leader. Remember, that was Dathan and Korah complaining in the wilderness that you're taking too much on yourself. He never took that. No way. God gave it to him. So when they despise God's government as choosing Moses, they're not just despising Moses, but they are despising God. It's the same way today. When people despise the God called ministry, they're not despising me. They're not despising these other preachers here. They are despising God's choice of how he wanted to lead his government. If God would have wanted to, he could have put a mayor as the pastor of the church. He could have put the governor in charge of the church or the president in charge of a church. But God wanted preachers. Oh, you say that was a dumb mistake. Well, I understand there's certainly some dumb ones among us, and I'm one of them. But you know what? If God chose that, it is perfect. It is God's government. And when we despise that government, we are in turn despising God. So apparently, if God chose me as a dummy to lead sheep, apparently there's some dummies here. Apparently, most of you folks didn't need a college graduate. You didn't need some doctor of theology. You needed somebody like me. That's right. Apparently, Brother Robert, your folks needed you, and on and on and on and on, because it is God's choice. Then a spirit will get among the body, or it will get in a certain move, and it will begin to motivate people in the exact same thoughts. Can you imagine how it must have been in heaven when this thought became projected from Lucifer into the minds of these created angels? They never smoked. They never lied. They never even had one evil thought. And all of a sudden, he began to preach. And began to preach apostasy. Aren't you all tired of this stuff? Aren't you tired of worshiping God? This is all you've ever done. Have you ever had one day off? Has God ever give you a paid vacation? Has God ever let you just take 7 days and go out here somewhere? Every day of your life, all you've done is worship and magnify and adore him. Did you ever wonder what it would be like to be your own boss? They're not going to be their own boss. They're just trading bosses. Oh, I get tired of going to church and being told what to do. You're either told here or you're told out there. People think they live their own lives. They don't live their own lives. The devil tells them what to do when they get out yonder. If somebody's going to tell me what to do, I'd rather be God. Oh. Now watch what Jude says. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion. Now, what the false teachers was doing was rejecting divine authority and set themselves up as the authority. Oh, you can't trust these men. Oh, you can't. But you can trust me. Well, I don't know how you feel about it. Before I put my soul into the care of any man, I want to see what God's got to say about that man. If that man ain't approved by God, I am not putting my soul in his care. No. Oh, but he's smart. I don't care how smart he is. There'll be smart folks in hell. I want to know, what's God say about the man? Does God anoint the man? Does God work with the man? Is God on the man's side? Come on, church. Look at this. They speak evil of dignities. The word rendered dignities is doxa, which means properly honor, glory, splendor, that which is fitted to inspire respect, that which is dignified or exalted. It is applied to the man of exalted rank. And the meaning is, they did not regard rank or station or office, which is exactly the same thing the angels did in heaven. Dignities is glories or rulers whom God hath made glorious, on whom he hath put the honor of being above others and made them his lieutenants and vice regents on earth. Ooh. Let's look at a New Testament example now. 3 John chapter 1 verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. You got to be kidding me. This is John the beloved, the apostle which leaned his head over on Jesus' breast. And there was a man in this church that would not allow John to come and preach. Not only that, but those who wanted John to come and preach, he threw them out. Now, dear old Diotrephes has been dead for probably several thousand years now. But that same demon is still alive today. Now, let's look at this man, Diotrephes. The name Diotrephes is very rare, meaning Zeus reared or nursling of Zeus. And was only to be found in the noble and ancient families. Now watch this background. So Diotrephes was a nobleman, either rich or wealthy or a place of position. This suggests that he might have been wealthy or high social standing. With it, however, he was proud, arrogant, and insensitive. Zeus was the chief of the gods in the Greek pantheon. The custom of the early church was for a Christian Greek to discard his pagan name and take a Christian name at his baptism. Uh-oh. Now, do you understand many of our African brothers, whenever they come from the world or from, you know, from whatever denominational thing, they do exactly the same thing to this day. They'll have their tribal names and whatever more, and they will choose a Christian name, and they will be identified. But what's Diotrephes? So there's something in his name that reflects the pride that he has. Now you think a real consecrated Christian filled with the Holy Ghost would not want to be called and say, I was reared by Zeus. I was nursed by Zeus. One of these days you're going to find out. We still got a lot of denominational folks that have been nursed by denominations. They sat in message pews, but really they've not let go of that old denominational breast. They're still under the influence of it. They're still under the, yes, come on, you might as well say amen now. But they will not die. And it shows that there's something in them that has not come to a spot to where Christ can have preeminence. So here, this man which was named this, I was reared by Zeus, or I nursed at Zeus' breast. So instead of becoming a consecrated Christian, I don't want nothing to do with that old name. Get that old thing away from me. I'm a new creature. He said, I kind of like that. So you imagine when he'd go to church and say, hello, Brother Zeus. Brother Zeus. Brother Zeus. Yes, sir. Dr. Fees. Yes, sir. How you doing, Brother Dr. Fees? Yeah. You high society updike. Man, you big high roller, you boy. We need you in the message. I'm not so sure. Well, if we can have rich in the message and folks in high society, they're able to lay down their society and realize there's only one society, and that's the society of God that's going to last. Fine, we welcome them right on in. But how many of them's able to do that? How many of them can have a position or come from a family, you know, and be like Dr. Fisher, where they say, well, I'll tell one thing, I'm the money of this church. I'm the one to support this church. I think I ought to have a say, just as much say as the pauper. You got one vote. Praise the Lord. We don't sell votes for according to how big your tithes are. If you got so many, pay so much tithes, you get 10 votes. You get one, whether you pay $1,000 a week or a nickel a week, you get one vote. Oh my. Now what's Diotrephes? A Christian Greek would discard his pagan name and take a Christian name at his baptism. The Christian name all often being descriptive of his Christian character. Now watch. I love this. Amen. Such as is seen in the case of Epaphroditus, whose name means charming. I hope some of you all wouldn't be befitting to be called Lysoap. Or persimmon juice. Or mule face. I would want my Christian name to be joy, or peace, or happiness, or shouter, or forgiveness, or love. Come on now. Notice what this meant to them. Notice what a name so meant to them. And here this man is in this error. But he chose to hold on. I like my former name. It gives me a little edge. Oh my. Such a scene in the case of Epaphroditus, whose name means charming. He was a charming Christian. Praise be to God. Amen. Diotrephes had never changed his name, although he was a professing Christian and a member of the local church of which Gaius was a member. Now, you know, it's really sad to say, but yet there are many, many people who go to church and they feel like they must have preeminence. Sometimes it'll be a pastor who wants to be a dictator. Sometimes it'll be a family person who's been there. Bless God, I was here when this church is founded. I've got seniority rights. I'm a senior. Senior citizen in this church. It's going to be run the way I want it, or we'll shut it down. That's the same spirit of Diotrephes. Come on, church, now don't get quiet on me. We have no seniority rights in the Word. We have no oldest family in the church. Where do we get such things as that? It comes from right here. But you see, what motivated Diotrephes was not the care of the body, but pride. Can you imagine him sticking his chest out and said, you know what I done today? John, the man that was on the Isle of Patmos, he wanted to come over and preach. You know what I done? I shut him down. I showed him who was boss. Can you imagine people being so ignorant that they think they can stop a ministry that God himself ordained before the foundation of the world? Can you imagine Diotrephes thinking that he would have the ability to shut down John? He caused some issues. It wasn't saying that as soon as Diotrephes raised up, that God come on the scene and wiped him out. No, sir. Diotrephes had an effect. Why? Apostasy must be allowed to grow right beside the wheat. Oh, my. So the spirit of Diotrephes not only rejected the apostolic authority of John the Apostle, but he wants to affect others who wanted to come here and preach. Watch this in verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. Now remember, Christ's position in the last days is that he can have the preeminence. But notice Diotrephes. He don't want Christ. He don't want the Holy Ghost. He wants the preeminence in the church. Can you imagine a man being this far out that the Apostle John wanted to come by and preach? Can you imagine what he could have taught this man? John, pull up a chair. You're old now. You're old. Sit down, your brother. Let us learn from your wisdom. Tell us, how was it with the Lord Jesus? How was it with... Tell us, John. But instead of doing that, he stuck his chest out over my dead body. Whatever it takes. Look, friends, when people challenge this bride, they're not challenging us. They're challenging the main man. This battle ain't about me and you. It ain't about you on your job. It ain't about you in your home. This is an old battle. This battle was going on before you was ever born. If we're not careful, we get sidetracked and think it's about us. It ain't about us. It's about him and him. But we're on the right side and we will win. That don't mean we won't have some hardships. That don't mean we won't have some difficulty. But Brother Robert, we will win this war. Lord Jesus. You wonder what it was about Diotrephes that he was so repulsive against John. Why John in particular? John was a threat to Diotrephes. None of the rest of the apostles mention this man's name. None of the rest of them in history call this man out. And he don't say, now there's a certain brother that lives within 3,000 miles of where we're at. And he's a certain brother. I won't say anything because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to say anything. But there's a certain brother. And John just said, I'll tell you what his name is. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you imagine when Diotrephes heard that. You know what? There's a time to call names and there's a time to be silent. And apparently John felt like it was time to call names. I don't know why it is when you say that, folks, tense up like a banjo string. But John was a threat to Diotrephes. You imagine, and Diotrephes heard this, how he made a personal assault against John, how he attacked John. Why? He was a threat. Notice in verse 10, John says, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds. This is the only threat in all of John's writings. Unlike Paul, who threatened the Corinthians and threatened this one, this is the only one. Can you imagine the apostle of love? And he was still doing it in love. This is the only threat. He said, I want to let him know and let those of you who are following know, when I come, I will remember him. Folks don't like that about a preacher, do they? They want a preacher that's a pansy. He just pushes this way. You can push him over here. And you know, if he's wrong saying this, I'll change. I'm sorry. I'll change over here. And I don't like that. Oh, I'm sorry. You want a babysitter. You want a babysitter. You better not whip me. I'll tell mommy. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't tell mommy. I don't want to lose my job. I don't care if you throw me out of my head. I'm going to tell the truth. Yeah. Just make sure you open both doors, because you'll be throwing me and Jesus both out together. Notice John says, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. Prating against us. Look at this word. To utter nonsense. Talk idly. Prate. To bring forward idle accusations. Make empty charges. And the church said, amen. The Almighty God is my witness today, and if I lie, may He strike me dead on this pulpit. These have been in my notes for weeks prior to what happened to us. You ain't going to convince me my God don't know what He's doing. Glory! Then you ask Carol, I've been sharing these things with her for several weeks. Notice how fitting. Why, it's the same spirit, friends. The same spirit that opposes this bride all over the world. It existed back on in that early church. Why did not they write this about Caiaphas? Why did not Diotrephes write this about Annas the high priest? Because he wasn't no threat. Can you imagine this man being bold enough now to utter nonsense, talk idly, pray, to bring forward idle accusation, make empty charges, to accuse one falsely with malicious words? I will remember his deeds which he doth, prating against us with malicious words. And the word malicious is evil, wicked, pressed, and harassed by labors. I mean, they try hard to do this, don't they? They was trying hard to publish this in John's day. And you realize some of the same folks that live in this day are doing the exact same. Oh, if I'd have lived in the days of John, I wouldn't have done it. Look and see how you're treating God's elect now. It tells you what you'd have done back then. But people look and say, I would have never done that if you're persecuting the bride of Christ. Our brother said it to us last night, elect does not persecute elect. It is not in the bride to hate others. It is not in the bride to down others. It is not in the bride to despitefully use others. It is not in our nature. I told somebody the other day, you know, I said, it's amazing. People fight this message and talk about us and criticize and run us down. But look at what this message produces. It makes us where we're so trusting. We trust newspaper reporters. Woo! It makes us so trusting. We don't think. We do not think in a way to trap people. We don't think in the way, how can I snare this person? How can I trap this person in their words? And then they want to blast this message. See what it's produced. See what is produced. It produces a people who loves their enemies, who prays for them that despitefully use it. It does not produce a people that are malicious and mean. If you're around it and you're that way, it's because you've never received the Holy Ghost yet. It makes us trusting. So if people tell us, I want to help you, we're vulnerable. We're very wrong. I'm going to say, okay, you want to help me? Okay. That's a compliment to the message. Instead of us being, dum, 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 dum. Let me see if I can trap him in his words. See if I carry this top secret recorder. If I can see, guess I'm saying something. I got it. I got it. Then I'll take it to my computer and I'll cut it and I'll splice it. Elect don't think that way. Elect think, Father, forgive them. They don't know what you're doing. Right, children? But non-elect think malicious. Non-elect think prating. And spin. People don't want the truth. They want the truth spun. They want to put it in their mixer in high speed and add a little of this and take a little of that, add a little flavor. And every one of them that do it to us will answer at the day of judgment. As I told one of the reporters that interviewed me, I said, remember, sir, you will answer at the day of judgment for what you prayed. I believe that. Not just about me or about you, but any Christian, any child of God. You imagine, so Dr. Fees was saying, this John, he wasn't telling, oh, he's a good man, he's got love, but he was telling things in such a way to make John look like a horrible person. Things that was utter nonsense. Bringing false charges. And yet, you know what? There's an element of people that love that stuff. I hope this will go viral today. Right. Now notice his motivation now. And how he continues to carry it on out. Different stages. I remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith. Now it's bad enough that he's lying on John, the apostle of the Lord Jesus. Friends, it's not enough that people want to lie on Brother Branham. They want to fabricate all kinds of things on Brother Branham. It's not enough. It's not enough to damn their own souls to hell. But they've got to take others with them. He's not content, John says. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren. So now here are brothers that are identified with John. And they say, hey, you're not even coming in the church either. You pull away from John and we'll throw you out. We'll unfriend you on Facebook. Let me tell you something, friends. When people get so malicious, I don't care how much you try to straddle the fence to be their friend. You might as well accept the fact. When they reach this spot, you're wasting your time. Oh, God, help us. It is one of the true effects of true religion or true salvation to have respect for superiors. Isn't it amazing that the New Testament, even though we know God never endorsed slavery, God made man and man made slaves. But in a time frame when Paul knew that slavery would be thousands of years before it would be destroyed on the earth. Can you imagine Paul writing words to teach the slaves how to be a Christian? And still, why didn't he write to the masters, which some of them were saved? And say, turn them loose. Paul knew eventually, no doubt, that God would destroy that wicked thing. And it was wicked, I say. And the church said, amen. But can you imagine knowing the conditions of time and knowing that it will be a long time? But he said, man, slaves know how to obey your masters. In turn, masters, treat them the right way. Don't you see what we do? If we start losing respect, we lose it for the president, we lose it for the Congress, we lose it for everybody, we lose it for God, we lose it for the prophet, we lose it for ministry, we lose it for the Sunday school teacher, we lose it for the deacons. That is not the government of God. That is anti-God. Lord Jesus. Entering into such a spot that these people had moved. Let's move now from Diotrephes back to Jude again, verse 9. Watch how he contrasts the lesser by the greater. Now Jude says that they despise government, speak evil of dignities. Then in verse 9 he says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that death reigned from Adam unto Moses. But something happened with Moses. God intervened in a special way to break a certain hold that Satan had had entirely up to that time. Now, so here Moses is dead. And Michael comes down. He's going to attend the funeral, of course. God's going to bury him. Wouldn't you want to attend a funeral? God's going to be the main man buried? I would. So when they come down, Michael and Lucifer get into a dispute over the body of Moses. Now remember, Satan had dominion in the realm of death, which means reigneth, which is basileus, which is king. So death reigned over everyone from Adam unto Moses. So Satan comes to claim that body. You know what he's going to do with it? He's going to take and put it at it somewhere where Israel will know where it's at and make a place of idol worship. So he comes and says, where's the body of Moses? Where's it at? Now watch Michael, the archangel. Many of the ancient rabbis considered Michael in some sort as we do, the Messiah manifested in the flesh. As a matter of fact, Gill says it this way, Michael, the archangel, by whom is meant not a created angel, but an eternal one. The Lord Jesus Christ. For a lot of these folks who hate this message, if they really study their historians, they find out there is tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff that is in this message that fathers way back behind us have already said. The prophet of God did not come to bring all new stuff. Sure, he brought some things that had never been preached before, but he come to gather the loose ends. If they'd only look and realize they're standing against much of what Clark said and much of what Gill said and much of what Larkin said and much of what Wesley said and much of what Luther said. Come on. What's this? The Lord Jesus Christ, as appears from his name Michael, which signifies who is as God. So Michael's name means who is as God. Who is as God or likened to him, but the Son of God who is equal with God. From his character as the archangel or prince of angels, for Christ is the head of all principality and power. And from what is elsewhere said of Michael, as that he is the great prince and on the side of the people of God, and to have angels under him at his command. So Philo the Jews calls the ancient word firstborn of God, the archangel. The word archangel is never found in the plural number in the sacred writings. There can be properly only one archangel, one chief or head of all the angelic hosts. And this is why I wonder, is this what caused the problem? God granted this position of the archangel to Christ, and Lucifer thought, that ought to be my place. I'm God's right hand man to fellowship. This ought to be my position. But God knew, God saw, God foreknew what he would do. He would not give him that place. It was reserved for the angel of his right hand. There's only one archangel. Oh, there's churches this and churches that and brides here and brides there. But there's only one, it's Jesus Christ. To watch. Yet Michael the archangel was contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses. So here is now Michael and Lucifer, the devil. And they're into it over the body of Moses. But notice what Michael does, and this is profound. He does not bring, according to Jude, against him a railing accusation. Now, apostates will do what angels will never think of doing. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. The devil come to claim Moses and he said, what'd you do with him? God said, you ain't getting him. I've got the power of death. I want that body. God might have answered something back. If you can find it, you can have it. I kind of think that's what he answers back about our souls that's hid in the presence of God. There's a devil out there. What you do? If you can find Donnie's soul, you can have it. If you can find Jimmy's soul, you can have it. You know why he aggravates the body? Because he can find it very easy. But I tell you one thing. If I am so hid, all by the Holy Ghost, hid in God with Christ, the devil couldn't find me. I don't care if he spent the rest of his days looking for me. Because I am so hid in Christ behind that blood. And our brother told us last night, the devil is scared of the blood. Watch in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Now, we don't know exactly what happened there, but all we know is that God carried him up and then let him look over. God said, now, you're not going to be allowed to go in, but I want you to see it. But I will allow you to be buried for a little while. Over in the land. So Moses stands up and he looks, and God, imagine breaking into the realm of vision. As a human, he could only see so many miles, even in clear day and open spaces. You imagine by vision that God let him go down through the fields of En Gedi. Let him look through the springs of Judah. Let him come back down. Oh, glory to God, on the northern side of Issachar. Let him come back down through Naphtali. Let him go through all the land and see it by vision. And once it was all done, all of a sudden, the Lord just took him. Wasn't the normal way of dying. So before the devil shows up for the funeral, I wish somebody preached to me this morning. So he died. Not according to the course of life. Not according to the natural thing that his strength abated. But according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. Over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher. Unto this day. The devil knew it. Had to have been getting close. And he thought, well, I'm the one who always kills people. I'm on the death squad. I'm the one who always takes people's lives. So him and God just up there talking. And God will call me when he's done with him. And so Satan's just kind of hanging around down the mountain. You know, just doing whatever devils do. And all of a sudden, somebody said, hey, he's gone. So let's just dramatize it and say it this way. God looked at him and said, Moses, I love you. You've been a faithful servant. I understand that you want to die on the rock. Come lay down, Moses, and die on the rock. Moses just goes over on that rock that he smote in the wilderness. And the rock gets up, carries him in his arms. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he goes down into the spot of Moab. Now really what's amazing is whenever you go to look at this in this valley of the land of Moab, there's valleys everywhere in this particular part of Moab. There's low places, there's crevices, there's all kinds of places, and even the devil wouldn't know which one to look at. So you imagine God, the rock, packs him down there. And he, by his word or by his hand, whichever one he done, and he dug out a spot and he laid Moses down in there. And the devil was pacing back and forth on the mountain and said, wonder when I'm going to be able to take it. I'm on. And all of a sudden, one of them demons peeked over the top of it and said, he's gone. And he went down to the devil and said, you ain't going to believe it. He's done died. They've done had the mourning, the viewing, and the funeral. It's not over. Oh, glory to God. So up here at the death place was Michael. Satan come up. I want to know, where is he? Ain't going to tell you. You know I've got a right. Now watch. Yet Michael the archangel was contending with the devil. He disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Now he wasn't afraid of the devil because he has a superior position. And he could have given harsher words. Look at this word, railing accusation. It is Christian blasphemous, which is literally a judgment of railing. A sentence savoring of rebuking his dignity. Michael remembered from the high estate from which he had fallen. And instead of him railing on the devil and railing on the devil, he simply says, the Lord rebuke you. How come Michael didn't? Do you understand God hates railing accusations? God will not accept it even from angels. Michael knew this. This is Christ. Michael knew better than to rail and rail and rant and rave. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Sorry, you're a day late and $2 short. You missed the death, the viewing, and the funeral. One of his cards is over there if you'd like the ceremony. You want a picture of it? I don't want a picture of it. What did you do? I imagine them demons spent days after days after days trying to look for new sand, trying to look for rocks that was overturned, but they're dealing with the main potter. They're dealing with the main potter that knows how to reach down and take clay out. And if he knows how to take it out, he knows how to put it back in. And he knows how to hide all of his tracks where the devil can't find it. Michael remembered this dignity. So he commits the matter into the Lord's hands and said, the Lord rebuke you. Amen. But watch apostates. They will tread where angels. They will say things about godly people that holy angels will never say about fallen ones. Come on, children. They will be so arrogant. As Dr. Fees was. For your malice and your insolence, he said, the Lord rebuke you. You imagine the angels of God as they are sent down to Sodom to find out the condition of that state. To bring a report back into the presence of God whenever these visiting angels are placed upon the earth. And they have been now for many years here in America. Can you imagine they cannot slander? When they go in the presence of God, they cannot spin it. They can only report facts. Why? They know God's character. God will not receive slander, even from an angel. Why? Slander is satanic. Devilish. That's why we don't want nothing to do with it. So here Jude contrasts it from the lowest of human beings on the earth, unregenerate and not born again. And he goes from them of what they would do, and he goes up here to the only archangel that God has. Now before I close this funeral service, let me just enlighten you in case you don't know or you forgot it. Another reason God didn't want the devil to have Moses' body was the prophet of God said he resurrected him. To be honest with you, he said, I don't think he ever really died. Might have put a little something over his face there, kicked the sand around his face, make him look like he was dead, and just kind of said, okay, Moses, it's time. Come on up. Hallelujah. Why? When Michael was made flesh upon the earth, and he stands up on that mountain there, who's standing there with him? But Moses and Elijah. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. They were a type, my brother, sister of you and I. Let me close with this in verse 10. Now it goes from the contrasting of the dignity of angels and it comes back down to humans on the earth in verse 10. And it said, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Look at the word speak. Blaspheme. To speak reproachfully. Rail at. Revile. So they don't know it. They don't understand it. But they go ahead and blaspheme it. Lord, help us. Now notice how he compares them. And we'll close. So they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts. God keep us. Can you imagine, friends? Human beings on our earth. And they're more like animals than they are humans. They're savage. Murderous. Don't you see what it is? It's a pre-tribulation anointing. It's easy to see the political power, the religious power, demon power. It's all coming together. Don't think that's just going to happen overnight. Once the bride leaves here, it's coming together right now. Look at political pressure. Look at demon pressure. Look at all kinds of things that can go through. It's bringing it all together. Oh, my. But when it comes just right, he'll take her out of here. Lord Jesus. Oh my. Everybody wants to stay true with all your heart. But Brother Donnie, I've been around for what? Some of these folks that's pulling away from this truth have been around a lot longer than some of us have. But being around it ain't enough. It's got to be in here. Be revealed to us, friends. And if it's revealed, there ain't enough devils out of hell to take it away from you. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chief of them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, which is dominion, power, lordship in the New Testament. One who possesses dominion. What is it? It's God's government on the earth. Elders, ministers, those that God placed in the body. They despise that government. May God keep us from apostasy. I know we've seen a lot. I personally believe there'll be even more that'll pull away. But hide me, O Rock of Ages. Brother Joel, whatever we've got to face, may God put his hands around us and shelter us. He's not going to keep us from it, friends. But may he give us strength to go through it. myself. I was so helped here in the service Wednesday night. When I looked at the word that he helpeth our infirmities. And he don't come and take it away. And I've got to be honest, sometimes that's probably the way I've prayed. God, take this from me. God, come help me. Come take this burden. But instead, what he done was, he come over and said, scoot over a little. I didn't want to scoot over a little. I wanted to scoot over a lot. I want him to take it and me go back and sit back in the recliner and drink a glass of tea and let him take care of all of it. You know what? He answered my prayer according to what I needed, but not according to what I wanted. So instead of delivering me and taking it totally away from me, he said, just move over a little and I'll help you. It's the very same word used in the book of Luke whenever Martha comes to Jesus and said, Master, Mary is sitting here at your feet. I need help. I need her to help me. Very same word. Martha didn't want Mary to do it. She just wanted to scoot over a little and take it. Help her with it. How many times has the Holy Ghost just kind of bumped us over an inch? Said, I answered your prayer. He said, you got to be kidding me. I don't feel that much different. I don't feel that much better. But that much will make the difference for you. And what does he do? Then he makes intercession for the saints with groanings which cannot be articulated. Any of you brothers that's ever moved much furniture, you know how it is when you grab something heavy? I've helped move this organ and this organ here and the piano, the last same difference of these heavy things up on the platform. Can you imagine we're going to move this piano and we're going to try to lift it just like it is? Some of us is grabbing here, some under it. And somebody just said, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know why in the world that they have to make pianos so heavy. This thing is 2.5 inches thick on the underside. Why in the world do they have to make such strength? Why don't they make the strings out of plastic? I'm going to smack him in the mouth. What should you rather have? A motor mouse helping you move it? Or somebody that'll go, glory! Don't you know he knows how to help us? And said, according to scripture, and you're... Oh, and all of a sudden you hear the Holy Ghost as he says, oh. He groaned like me. He's an excellent furniture mover. Don't you appreciate him? He bears our infirmities. Oh, how good it is when you're under such a load and you feel somebody's shoulder touch yours. And you look over at your own attorney, bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And you're groaning, grunting. He ain't just in a... I'd have a hard time relating to an attorney like that. You okay? You okay? I'm here for you. But man, if I could look over at an attorney... His sweat's broke out on his face. His hands are clenched. His knuckles are turning white. He's grunting with me. I can see. We'll do it. We'll do it. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Carol got a card this week from one of the local doctors here in Johnson City that she sees. Carol had seen her last week and she was trying to encourage her. She'd sent her and me a card, a really nice card. She had scripture verses in there. Of blessed are you when men will persecute you. Cast your name out as evil. I thought, isn't that something? A doctor. So Carol said, I've been so sick since I've heard all this stuff. I've been praying for you and Donnie. Brother Donnie, would you want them to pray for you? Sure, why not? Amen. God, don't let me be like Diotrephes. Don't let me turn against this word. Don't let me turn against this word, Lord. Let me stand. When trouble arises, don't let me cower down and be afraid. if I am afraid. Don't let me show it. Give me courage, Lord, to pull my sword. Quieten my knee metal so the saints won't hear it. Quieten my sword as it's hitting against my shield. They'll think I'm sharpening it, Lord. It's really my nerves. You love him, children. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, as I've been looking over these things in the last few weeks, I've just sat and pondered. Not really studied, but just pondered and thought. How could a man like Diotrephes be so blind that a man like John, who had walked with you, you took him to the Isle of Patmos, and all these things that happened to him, these revelations that no other man had ever seen. And yet this man loved preeminence more than he loved truth. He wanted to be big and get a name and whatever more. He had the opportunity to sit at the feet. Oh God, I wish I could have done that. My, what we would have given. If we would have announced it in that day, and I lived in the first century, and I would have announced it to our little church, whatever the name of our little church would have been then, the church of Antioch or the church of wherever, and I would have told the people, saints, Brother John is coming by. Brother John has honored us with a visit. He's on his way through Elizabeth's, and he's going over to wherever. Brother John said he'd come by and take the weekend services for us. How honored we would have been. Lord, may I say it with respect and all honor to John. We have had some men who I believe you consider to be not in the same prophetic caliber as John, but as far as brothers of character, who've come by our assembly. I believe we had some here last night, week before, Wednesday, weekend before. I believe we have men here, ministers here, who have that same godly caliber. Help us that we will honor and respect that, Lord. Help them, Lord Jesus, to realize, though we might differ with our government, differ with our president, our Congress, help us to have that fine line that we respect the office that they hold. The governor of our state, or Lord, the judge, or the sheriff, or whoever more. Help us, Father, to realize it may start there and erode its way down till we lose all respect for government. Lord, help us so we would differ with servants of God, men of God. Help us to still hold in esteem that position you've given them. It tends to go with this kind of a message that if we disagree with them, we toss everything out. We just trash it all. Forgive us for that, Lord. May we learn something from the angels. I realize that a son of God on the earth has authority that an angel is not given to. And I know when your prophet was on the earth, them demons was terrified of that gift. It's a funny thing to me that humans are calling him a false prophet and the devils are scared to death of him. They run from him. Every time they come in a prayer line, they're scared to death and call for reinforcement. That ought to tell us something, Lord. And he rebuked them. He said things to them that Michael couldn't say, maybe, because the dispensation's been changed. But help us though we would differ, to still maintain a love in our hearts, Lord. And the church said,
amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Let's raise our hands in the presence of God, can we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep us true, Lord. Keep us true, Lord Jesus. Lord, I guess this year I've been in the message for 31 years. My, how it's went past. Through many hardships we've all come through. But we know you'll lead us safely on. If next year comes to an end and the next, may we still be found faithful, Lord. Holding true.
We don't want to take confidence in how many years we've been around. We don't want to stand in our knowledge. We want to stand in Christ Jesus, the Word. And if I have to die, may the rock come near me. Praise God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Would you lay your hand over on that person standing by you? Let's just pray for each other this morning as a body. Amen. You may never know what that person standing by you is going through. They may have made up their mind this is the last service I've ever attended again. They may be sick. They may be under depression. They may be dealing with things at work. Only God knows. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we approach you today, we're not praying for ourselves, but we're praying for our brothers and sisters, Lord. We're praying for our young people, Father. I know some of them have come under the stress of this in the last few weeks as well, Lord. People on their jobs being inquired and all kinds of things are being said. May you strengthen the people, Father. May you help us, Lord Jesus. May our stand be for you. May our stand, Lord Jesus, be for the cause of right. Really, Lord, we know what this is all about. We know it's not one certain issue. We know it's an outcry against the message. That's really what it's all about. May we stand, Lord Jesus. May we not give. May we not bend nor bow. Oh, God, if the pressure gets greater, may we stand for what we know is truth. Oh, Jesus, may we be willing to die if need be for the cause that we believe is right. Help us, I pray, Father. Lord, may you minister strength to your people today. Healing, courage, whatever they have need of, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Sister went to the doctor on Friday. It's okay if I say it. It's okay if I tell the church. Our sister went to the doctor on Friday and they've diagnosed her with having dementia. And the doctors have said that it'll worsen. But her confession is she's not going to accept that. Hallelujah. Always when the church was persecuted, God come on the scene in such a supernatural way. Yet it could not be questioned. You believe what you want to believe. I believe our Father will manifest Himself among us in a way that what greater than we've ever seen in our lives. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, you see, Lord, what the doctors told our sister. That's as best as they know. Maybe that's what the report says or the test or whatever it was that they did. But we want to turn over into an old doctor's book. We'd like to turn over into the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. When he caught a vision of you being beaten at the whipping post. And that by your stripes, our sister, before she was ever even born, before she ever even came on the earth, the doctor's manual said the price has already been paid. Heavenly Father, we join our faith together and in obedience to your word. I lay these poor, humble hands upon her today, Lord. I call in the name of Jesus Christ. May the presence of God move for our sister, Lord. We know you didn't promise it would be exempt from sickness or affliction or distress. But you promised many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I call you a liar today. And I say that you are a defeated foe. Jesus Christ defeated you 2,000 years ago. Take your hands off of our sister. We claim her healing, her deliverance as God's property. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Manifest yourself, Lord. Grant it, dear God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, let's just love him a little bit now before we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord God.
Almighty.
You're worthy. You're worthy, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
There is none like you.
None like you, Lord God. Let's love him now, children. Oh, he's been so good to us. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you. I worship you, oh my Prince of Peace.
Come on, worshipers. Just raise your hand.
That is what I want.
Hallelujah.
To do.
Think of it. The presidents are here today. The governor, the mayor. But the mighty God. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For you,
yes, Lord.
My right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Just
oh, bless your name, Lord God. I worship you, Lord.
Worship you.
I worship you, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'd like for us to sing that psalm Brother Belton closed out with last night. Oh, happy day. How many's happy your sins are gone? Hallelujah. Are you happy they're gone? Praise God. I want you to follow me, because last night when I laid on the bed before I went to sleep, I heard another verse to it. Same, yeah, probably same key was that last night. It was good. Started off for me.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Jesus won.
Oh yes, he won.
Thank you, Lord. Oh yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, happy day. He taught me how to every day. Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, what a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, my body's been changed. Wow. My cells rearranged. By the message of Elijah. Young man. Change takes place. All of a sudden, a sweep comes over us. And we look back and we may sing, oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Yeah. Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
My body has been changed.
My body.
Yeah.
Happy day.
My cells rearranged.
Oh, happy day.
I'm not down there. I was about five shades darker because I could get by with a whole lot more ruckus. Brother David Sotto told me the other night, he said, you know, for years I've known you, I've always heard you're the only white man in the message that wishes he's a black one. You preach like a black man, dress like a black man, talk like a black man. My suits, you know where the suit come from? Florence, South Carolina, black man store. Oh, yeah. That's why it's just almost funny, you know, and you know what the lies that the devil tells people. He said, he just tell people, if you all knew the truth and how big a fool I'm making out of you. Amen. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
I'll wave goodbye to the devil. I say no more trouble from you, devil. I'll be saying so long, oh devil. You see, I'm trying to win.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, hallelujah.
Happy day.
Oh, I sat in front of the mirror combing these gray hairs, and they all went away.
Oh, happy day.
The wrinkles went with them.
Oh, happy day.
All aches and pains, they went with them.
Oh, happy day.
And now I'm flying away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy, happy, happy day. I still ain't got my shouting strength back. We'll be like that colored sister one time. The Lord was blessing her and blessing her. She said, back off, Jesus. You're going to hurt me. Y'all going to have to pray for me for these Easter meetings coming up. I can't imagine being rushed to the Johnson City Medical Center. So what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? He shouted himself to death. God bless you, saints. He's mindful of us. Let's sing it together, Harry. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Praise the Lord. I hate old age. God bless you, saints. I love you so much in the Lord. I've got a meeting, Lord willing, next weekend out in Arkansas, Brother Mike Price. He has service on Friday night and a banquet on Saturday night and then service on Sunday. So certainly desire your prayers there. Brother John LaFontaine will be here next weekend. Since the church enjoyed Brother Andrew Glover so well a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, I thought we'd have him back this Wednesday night. God bless you. Let's just sing it together as we go. Have a nice day. May God be with you. If you don't ever get to meet again, remember, if I have to go before you, I'll be standing at the gate waiting for you. Okay? I won't go far in the city, because really it wouldn't quite be the same if you all weren't there with me. Why would I want to live in that great big place without you? The sheep of my heart. So if I do go before you, I'll venture every now and then up through there. But I'll wait at the gate so we can go together and be presented before the Lord Jesus. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. God bless you.
His name again, He is here. Listen closely, hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same.